So we're here on Ksubas Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Do you have a Gemara? You didn't bring a Gemara. So what do we do over here? Okay, you'll borrow my Gemara for now, but you know I reserve the right in case I need it to take it back from you. Okay.
Next week, be there to Rabbi
Ma. Okay, believe me. Now we have the sugya of Sheva Brachos, and the Gemara now in Daf Ches is going through the nusach of all the seven brachos. When I say seven, they're really only six, but we're going to add a Baruch Priya Gofen. That's a minhag that's widely accepted amongst all of Klalis. So it's really six plus one. We'll soon see that according to Sama Moroim, it's really five, because he wants to drop the Yotzer Adam. That's going to be the Sheet of Ravasi, I think it is. But we'll see as we go along. But be that as it may, we want to go through each one of the brachos and understand the meaning of the brachos. We went through most of the brachos, but we still have two brachos left.
We did.
Do you remember we did? Okay, why in Torah? I think you missed the last.
I think, you're right. Yeah. You know what? I did miss that.
Yeah,
I was away in America. I was in America that weekend.
Yeah. You were in America. We didn't know what to do. We were in a bind because how could we continue without without Rabbi Goldschneider? But we somehow squeezed it through. Were you in Fairland by any chance?
No.
All right, so if you ever get to Fairland, you know, mention my name there, because I never got...
Not going back until
I never even got one email, you know. All right. Be that as it may, when we get to the next to the last bracha, now when I say the next to the last bracha, it could be that during the Shivas Yemei HaMishnah we have Baruch Priya Gofen at the very end. But let's say under the chuppah we'll have Baruch Priya Gofen as the first bracha. That itself is a sugya unto itself, why we switch the order of Baruch Priya Gofen. But be that as it may, let's say we're up to the next to the last bracha. The next to the last bracha is called Sos Tasis. And in that bracha, I'm sorry, I said Sos Tasis? Scratch it, sorry. Sameach to Samach, I meant to say. Now what is unique about Sameach to Samach? And it may even form, if I understand Rashi correctly, the quintessential bracha. It's like the center, the hub of all the brachas. All the brachas are really built around this bracha, Sameach to Samach Reim Ahuvim. That bracha is what's called a bakasha. All the other brachas are shevach and hodoyah. We express praise and thanks to Hashem. The exception to that rule is Sameach to Samach, in which we beg Hashem, please see to it that this new couple is going to live together b'simcha, and we compare it to Gan Eden, because Adam Rishon and Chava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesameach them. There are long discussions and descriptions of Midrashim of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with the Pamalya Shel Mali, all the angels, were Shushvino and to be Mesameach Adam v'Chava. So therefore we say, Kisamechcha Yitzircha b'Gan Eden mikedem. Right, you have that on the top of Daf Ches Amud Aleph. And that bracha ends, please note, with the words, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mesameach, Chason, V'Kala. Now the reason why I want you to emphasize that is because we'll soon see that the very last bracha, which is called Asher Bara, that too has the same chasima. And Rashi is going to spend a lot of energy, and so is Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Avudram, all the Rishonim, we're going to spend a lot of energy trying to figure out why do we repeat the same bracha twice. Again, not the body of the bracha. The body of the bracha of Sameach to Samach is radically different in its very character from the body of the bracha of Asher Bara. Asher Bara is a clear-cut birchas hodoya v'shevach, whereas Sameach to Samach is clearly a birchas hatfila, but birchas habakasha, like the 13 middle brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei, all of which are bakashos. Sameach to Samach is really very typical of a birchas bakasha.
Right.
Okay. But the chasima of these two brachos is the same. So that's what we have to study. But before we get to that, let's now study the seventh bracha, which is called Asher Bara. And again, this is also called the sixth bracha, because again, if you're talking about the Shivas Yemei HaMishnah, then it's the sixth bracha. Because what's the seventh bracha? Baruch Priya Gofen. Okay? That's good. Oh. So Rashi points out, that the shevach of this last bracha is for this particular simcha. That's going to be very critical for Rashi. I mean, sometimes we thank Hashem for creating what's called simchas chasam v'kal, in a general sense, that God invented or generated this concept of the rejoicing, the love and the cherishing happiness of a chasam v'kal. But Rashi says that when we recite the Asher Bara, we're pointing, so to speak, I mean that figuratively, not literally, to this chasam and kala, and thanking Hashem for the simcha of this chasam v'kal. Okay, that's called Chasnus Ish and Ish Ayidei Simcha. And here's the nusach of the Brach. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Now stop. Do you see anything unusual here? Look at it again. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Is there any problem, any comment that you want to make here? It's a bracha smucha lechavrta. Now watch this. We have a rule that whenever you have a series of brachos that are contiguous one to the other, we drop the psicha and we only have the chasima. For example, the next to the last bracha is sameach to samach reimahuvim. It doesn't start with baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So you and I might have said, well, you know why there's no psicha, there's no bracha to Hashem in the case of sameach to samach rei mahuvim? Maybe the reason for that is because it's a bakasha. But that's not enough, because every bakasha starts with baruch to Hashem, and the paradigmic case of that is the 13 brachas that form the backbone of tefillah, of the Amidah. Each one of those is meant to start with a baruch, is it not? Except if it's a bracha smucha lechavrta. Here, in the case of Sameach to Samach, it's a bracha smucha lechavrta because the previous bracha started with a baruch, and that was the bracha of Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Yatzaras Adam B'Tzalmo B'Tzelem Udmus Tavniso Dmus Tavniso Hiskin Lo Mer. There it starts with the bracha. That psicha will be chal for all the brachas afterwards, removing the need for a psicha through the principle of bracha smucha lechavrta. So therefore, for example, Sos Tassis V'Sagel Akara doesn't have a baruch, and Sameach to Samach Rei Mahuvim doesn't start with a baruch. So why then does Asher Bara, the last of the brachas, open with a baruch? That's my question. And guess what the Mefarshim say? This is very interesting. The only time we apply the rule of smucha lechavrta is when we have a bracha that only exists in the matzav, in the framework of smucha lechavrta. It always, absolutely always appears in a sequence. And if it's in a sequence, then we apply the principle of bracha smucha lechavrta. But if you have a bracha that sometimes appears in a sequence, in a seder, sometimes it's on its own without a seder, then it will open up with a bracha. It's kind of like, if you will, a low plug. You're familiar with the fact that we don't want to make distinctions. Since this bracha appears on its own, and if it's not smucha lechavrta and it needs a baruch, they formulated this bracha with a psicha, and now even when it's smucha lechavrta, we're going to still insist on reciting the psicha. Why is Asher Bara a bracha that exists on its own? Anybody know? All the other brachas require what? Can I repeat these brachas every day during the Shiva Simei HaMishteh for this Chasam Gala? Only on one condition. What do we need? Panim Chadoshos. But if there are no Panim Chadoshos, then we recite only one bracha. Which bracha? Asher Bara. Asher Bara has a very significant status, and it exists on its own, independent of the other brachos, in the case where there's no panim chadoshes. Is memeil if there's no panim chadoshes, Asher Bara needs a psicha, because it's a bracha she'ein asmucha lechavrta, it's not part of a seder. So even when this bracha is part of a seder, and it really technically is a smucha lechavrta, it doesn't require a baruch, we still have a baruch.
How is that said? In other words, if the chasam gal are having a meal together, the chasam says that bracha?
I don't know if you need a minion without panim kadoshes, or it's enough that the chas and the kal are eating together. Yeah, I think you need a minyan, if I'm not mistaken.
Halacha l'maaseh, we do that?
I don't know.
Sometimes it happens people get married in America, and in the middle they come to Israel. It could be the flight coming over. There's not 10 people, I mean, that they know on the plane.
Right, you know, I had that Shiloh when I got married, because I had my last Shavuot brachos in Israel. I was married in New York. But Rav Shechter Paskin for me that you can't call it Panim Chadoshes when you're on a plane. Everyone on the plane is going to Israel for whatever reason they're going. They're not on the plane because Berzon is there with his wife, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, celebrated. You,
Panim Chadoshes means you came in honor of the Chos of Akal. That's what it means.
But they could have a cover now. You could.
Well, it's not that, you know, we're not joking with anyone. It's got to be sincere. I can promise you there was not one person on the plane that came in my honor. Not one. Even Reb David Lifshitz, someone who spoke at my Shevet Brachos, he was already in Israel. He came on his own. He didn't come with me. And I thought maybe if I give out lollipops or something, you know, sweets, something, then perhaps, you know, they could join me lichvodi, but... It just was not it was not feasible logistically. Okay, so what is the bracha? Asher bara. Now watch this. I want you to count how many different categories of joy there are in this bracha. Okay, who's going to count it? Okay, Max, you want to volunteer for John?
I'm
not
for counting.
Do you have 10 fingers?
If you have 10. On an LO plane, if somebody has it, somebody just got married, they'd be very, very happy. I know from experience.
But it's not a matter of being happy. You have to come to that place. There's something called a makom, right? That's called a makom. In fact, if you remember the Gemara that we learned on Daf Zayin and Beis, you have the Gemara, you'll see it says, Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Bebeis Chasanim. Beis Chasanim means a place where there's Simcha. And the El Al plane, again, there's a Simcha that everyone's coming to Israel, you know, but that's a different kind of Simcha.
But nobody's happy on a plane. But if there's a wedding on the plane, there's a thing, it breaks the whole thing up. Anyway.
Okay. So what's going on here? Who's counting? Sason, Simcha, okay, Chas V'Kala is just, you know, just describing the Chas V'Kala, those aren't words that describe Simcha, Gila, Rina, Dita, Chedva, Ava, V'Achva, V'Shalom, V'Reis, 10. And believe it or not, the number 10 is a magic number in this context. Why? Because when God created the world, how many different mamoros did he have, different utterances, pronouncements? 10. And the 10 categories of Simcha reflect the 10 categories of creation. And therefore, the Eser Lashonos of Simcha reflect and correspond to the Eser Asar Mamoros Shenivra Bohen Ha'olam. It means that creation itself, which we recognize the divine power of creation, He is the Creator, that creation creates not only the physical universe, but also the universe of Simcha in 10 different forms. And if we had the ability to research this, we would show, by analysis, that each one of these 10 categories is unique, is slightly different. I'll give you one example, I can't go beyond this. Sason and Simcha. Sason and Simcha are radically different one from the other. Simcha means a pleasure and a joy for something that I achieve. Sason represents something metaphysical. Or for example, there's something called Gila. Now, Simcha could be something that I achieved in the past, but I still feel a sense of Simcha. Gila means something that I achieve right now. It's immediate. Chedva, for example, has its own meaning. It's a different kind of a joy. Chedva is a kind of a joy when a person was in a state of deficiency and all of a sudden he filled something that was lacking in his life. That's called chedva. So the beauty of Lashon Kodesh is, as opposed to any other language, is that we don't have in Lashon Kodesh something that's called synonyms. The concept of a synonym is not existent in Lashon Kodesh. And the one who was the greatest proponent of this was the Malbim. I have no doubt he was influenced by the Vilna Gaon, who in his Pirush on Mishlei spends a lot of time trying to differentiate between two words that sound identical. But the one who really took it as a mikzoa, you know, this was his discipline, his challenge in life, was the Malbim. The Malbim wrote a whole work in order to demonstrate that two words that seem to be identical in their meaning are different. And it's fascinating, when he gets to Yirah, for example, he shows that there are many, many different words in Lashon Kodesh that sound identical or seem to mean the same thing as Yirah, but each one is different. And the most intense, profound Yirah is called Chalchola. Did you ever hear that word, Chalchola? Who, do we have a Balkori here who reads on Purim, who could tell me where the word Chalcholot is? Excellent. Vatischalchel Amalka. When she finds out about the Gzer of Haman, it says Vatischalchel. The Malbim says that that's the most intense kind or form of Yira, of fear. So we have now Eser Lishonos. The Ramban wants to add Chosav Akala, and that jacks up the number to what? To 12. I'm not happy about that, because if there are 12 Lashonos of Simcha, and for some reason Chosav Akala has been a minion, then it's no longer corresponding to the Eser Lashonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he created the world. Then, all of a sudden, the theme of this bracha shifts. Because until now, what kind of a bracha did we have? Was it Bakosh or Sheva?
Sheva.
Now watch this. All of a sudden, it says, Mehera Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Biore Yehuda. The Rambam's gear says, May Are Yehuda. Now, the question is, where are we hearing these kolos? So there's going to be five kolos. Do we hear it inside the city, or is it coming out of the city? Okay, so we have it Biore Yehuda. You know, you go into the city and you hear the kolos. But in truth, we hear the kolos as they rise from the city all over the land. So it's Mi Are Yehuda. That's the gear of the Rambam. In any event, Be'are Yehuda u'bechutzos Yerushalayim. Now notice, where did the Chazal get this beautiful, you know, the ten Lashonos of Simcha all exist in Tanakh. The Rabbanim did not create, you know, the Gemara says at the beginning of a sect of Kiddushin, that Kiddushin is a Lishna de Rabbanim, right? That there is no Lishna de Minator of Kiddushin. It says Ki Yikach Yishisha. It doesn't say Ki Yikadesh Yishisha. But all the ten Lashonos of Simcha are all Da'oraisa. They all appear in Tanakh. So where does this bracha of Behera Hashem Elokeinu Yishama, this is a pasuk, believe it or not, in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, but unusual, when Chazal take a pasuk and they want to convert it into a nusach hatfil, it's part of the liturgy, what they do is they pick and choose. They don't take the whole pasuk lock, stock, and barrel. They actually cut out parts, piece them together in a way that would convey the tefillah that they wanted. So I'm going to read to you the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk says, Od yishama b'makom hazeh, asher atem omrim charevu me'ein adam u'me'ein behema, bi'ari Yehuda b'chutzas Yerushalayim, hanishamos me'ein adam u'me'ein yoshev me'ein behema, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chason v'kol kala. So if you notice, at the beginning of this pasuk, it says, Karmar Hashem od yishama. We're going to grab that. In the middle part of the pasuk, it mentions, Ari Yehuda b'chutzos Yerushalayim, so we're going to attach that to the od yishama. And then at the end of the pasuk, it mentions, Kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chason v'kol kala. And that's going to be the end of this tefillah. So Rabbosai, how many, if you categorize brachos on the two thematic categories, there's one theme which is called Hodah, Thanksgiving. Another theme is called Bakosh, with supplication. How would you categorize the Bracha Asher Bara? Is it single dimensional or is it a hybrid? It's a hybrid. It's a hybrid, meaning it's comprised of two different characters, two different categorical themes. There's a theme that we begin the Bracha with, and we thank Hashem as being the source of Simcha. Any simcha that we have comes from Hashem. And number two, we turn this bracha midway into a bakasha, and we ask Hashem that again we'll hear the sounds of simcha coming from Ari Yehuda and Yerushalayim, because the theme of the Sheva brachas is always the overlap, the intertwining of two elements, the human simcha and the simcha of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. And now we get to five kolos. Again, I'm going to need Max, you help you, but now all you have to have is one hand. You don't need two hands. Okay, it says kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chason v'kol kala. That's only four. And then it says kol mitzalot chatanim michufatam nirim mishtenikinatam. And therefore we have five kolos. The Gemara says that five kolos are divine kinds of expressions of simcha, and every person is obligated, insofar as he has the possibility of doing so, to be mesameach the chasim v'kala with five kolos. And the Gemara tells us that kol ha-mesameach chasim v'kala zoche v'chamesh kolos, which might mean that he'll be zoche to see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, to hear these great kolos of simcha. And then it says mitzhalos chasonim michupasim. So who is actually singing these kolos? We said it was the people who came to be mesameach l'chasim v'kala, but that's not so. These kolos are coming from where? From the chasanim themselves. And where? In what location? You know, it's if you want to identify the person, it's the chasan. But if you want to identify the location, it's what? The chuppah, right? Chasan mi chuppasam. The chuppah is identified as the place that's designated for simcha. And that's where the five kolos are coming from the chuppah of this chasan. In fact, these brachas are called berchas chasanim. And basically, the simcha that we're talking about is the simcha of a chasan. But wait a minute. Only the chassan is happy? Isn't the kala happy? Do I have to talk about Torah in motion to tell you that the kala is also happy? That was a joke, but nobody followed it. In any event, even the kala is very happy to get married. Ah, but you know what? In Chutz Lartz, they don't make a shechiyon on a bris. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we make a shechiyon on a bris. So why is that in chutzlots? Again, I can't tell you why in chutzlots, but why is it that some shitos, and that was the minig that was accepted in chutzlots, leave out shechiyon on the bris? The tzar of the yanuka, correct? Tzar of the yanuka. When there's some element of tzar, and it's not a complete simcha, we leave out the bracha of a simcha of shechiyon v'kimon v'yon. The baby is never tzar is crying, and therefore we don't make a shechiyon. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we feel that the simcha of the Balias simcha is so intense, we're going to overlook the tzar of the baby, we're going to still make and recite the shechiyon. In the case of chasan v'kala, if it's a first marriage, there's going to be some element of tzar here. That's called tzar bisulin. You remember we spoke about the question of bila rishon on Shabbos because of the malacha of chabura, you know, the bisulin and so forth and so on. So maybe therefore the shift here is on the chasan. Alternatively, maybe the shift is on the chasan because he's obligated in the midst of marriage. She's not obligated. It's voluntary on her behalf, which is a mind-boggling concept. But the Torah says, Puru v'kivshua darko shalish lichbosh, he's obligated the mitzvah, she's not. Technically, according to Allah, if a woman remains a bachelorette? What's the word for this? Spinster. Is there such a word as a bachelorette? Or did I create that word? I don't know. She's not in violation of any Torah law. Could you imagine? She's not in violation of a Torah law. A woman desires to get married for one of two reasons, hopefully those two reasons, either because Elishech Chukaseh, Lotov Yos Adam Levada, a woman wants to have a partner, or alternatively because she wants to give birth to children. So she wants to get married and have children. But that's a desire. As far as the Chiv is concerned, there's no Chiv. She's not under the Kivshuha, therefore she's not under a Peri Veriv. It's amazing, halacha, that a man is chayv in period for if not a woman. So Sefer HaMakta wants to say that a woman is exempt from period of arivia, but she's obligated in kiddushin. It's very difficult to accept that, because kiddushin and period of arivia is really one and the same. The Torah says ki ikach ish isha, and ki ikach ish isha, if the woman is exempt, then that's it. She's exempt from ki ikach. Who's the Torah addressing when it says ki ikach? The Makadish or the Miskadeshes? Only the Makadish. Brian, you learned Kiddushin, right? You had that whole discussion. Okay, I mean, you may have had it 67 days ago because it was at the beginning. It's hard to remember after 2 months have gone by. But
I'm just thinking about what you're saying. The woman doesn't have...
You know what the Rameir Simcha Midvinsk wanted to suggest that the reason why a woman is not obligated to piri verivi is because childbirth involves a certain element of danger. And the Torah doesn't obligate me to put my life in danger for the sake of a mitzvah. There's only one mitzvah that obligates a person to put his life into danger by its very nature. And that's the mitzvah milchama of going out to battle. So we have a lone soldier sent to here. I mean, these are people who volunteer for the Israeli army. You have to give them credit. They are willing to put their lives on the line. And that's derived from what? The kivshua. Says Rabbi Simcha, when the Torah obligated a mitzvah that has in it an inherent life-endangering situation, the Torah addressed itself to who? To the males and not to the females. That's v'kivshua. And since in the same pasuk it says puru revu, the Torah says that he is obligated peri revu, but not her, because we have no precedent that a woman is obligated to put a life into danger. That means our both say any time a woman gets married and has children, she has voluntarily accepted upon herself to put her life into danger.
They let us know that all day long.
That what?
They let us know that all day long.
Are you really so?
Could be the
maybe they're letting them know that the fact that they married you is a life endangering situation. Know, has nothing to do with Piri Verivia. Nafkamin is Nisu and Shnir. Yonatan, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
A man is obligated to put a woman's life in danger.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting question. How could he put her life in danger? And that's included in the Xeris HaKos of Piri Verivia, but only if she agreed to marry him. Notice, there's not going to be any situation where the halacha allows a Piri Verivia against the woman's will. There's no Kedusha Bal Karcho, even though the Gemara has a Havamin of Kedusha Bal Karcho in the case of Yavama. Right? Based on Yavama, again, this is all... So what does it say over here? Baruch atah Hashem Mesameach Chosan Makala. That's the closure of the entire series of Sheva Brachas, and it's identical to the previous bracha, which is the sixth bracha, or if you will, the fifth bracha, depending upon whether you have the Bar Pri HaGafen or not. Why would we repeat the same bracha twice? So here we have a long discussion in Rashi. So for this, I think, Doc, I'm going to have to borrow my Gemara back. If you don't mind looking on with Brian, I'll give it right back to you, but just, I don't have Rashi on my page. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, V'chosam ba, it's about six lines down from the top, B'baruch, sostasis, and then he says that towards the end of the Rashi, Tomar lo meiba, mitoch. Sorry, I'm trying to find this. Oh, here it is. Do you see where the lines get skinny at the bottom, and then they start getting like wider at the bottom, like an L-shaped, if you know what I mean? He says the following: Mesameach chosan v'kala, ubachrona mesameach chosan imakala. Rashi notices a nuance of a difference between the two brachas. The sixth bracha, the next to the last bracha before we get to Asher Barah, is Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. The last bracha of Asher Barah is Mesameach Chasan Im HaKala. Says Rashi, Lefisa Simchas Bracha Rishona, Lo Besumchas Chasana Anu Omrim. So Mesameach Chasan V'Kala means both the Chasan and the Kala. We're praying on their behalf that they should experience simcha. Ubachrona, but the last bracha is not a prayer, but fundamentally it's a birchas hashevach, shemeshabeach lakadosh baruch hu shebarach chasnus dibuk ish ve'ish al yedei simcha v'ched, v'lefichach yesh lachto mesameach chasan im hakala, shu lashon simchas ish ve'isha. So we're not praying on behalf of the simcha of him and her. That would be Mesameach Chasan V'Kala, and that's appropriate for the bracha Shishis, which is the bracha of Sameach Tesama, but rather we are thanking Hashem because He created the Dibuk that this man is misdabek with this woman, right? V'dovak be'ishto, and that's going to generate simcha. That's what Hashem gave us, that opportunity, and therefore we should chosen misameach chason im hakala. That his simcha is because of the dibuk, the dveikus that he has with the kala. Okay then? So that's the theory of Rash. The Gemara tells us the following story. Levi ikla lebei Rebbe behilud Reb Shimon Bray. They were machabed Rebbe. I'm sorry, they were machabed Levi to be mevarech at the wedding of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe. And when Levi came to make the brachas, Baruch Chamesh. Again, now we're assuming there were only six brachas. We're leaving out the Baruch Priyag Gofen. So obviously he omitted one bracha. Which bracha did he omit? Rashi says he omitted Yotzer Ha'adam. The first bracha. No, Asher Baruch Vodot, Yotzer Ha'adam. Why did he omit Yotzer Ha'adam? We don't know. That's going to be the sugya that we're going to embark upon. Rav Asi, on the other hand, Iklo Lebei Rav Ashi, he was invited to the simcha that Rav Ashi made Bilula de Mar Brei when his son Mar got married. And Rav Asi Baruch Shis, he blessed all the brachos, including the bracha of what? Of Yotzer Ha'od. So there's a machlokas here as to whether or not you should be Mavarech Yotzer Ha'od. Levi omitted Yotzer Adam, and Rav Asi included Yotzer Ha'adam. Lema Bahaka Mifti, what are they arguing about? So let me give a little background to this Gemara, because the Iker Sugya is not here, but it's in Masechta Erevin. There are two opinions in Masechta Erevin about the original creation. One opinion says that man was created both male and female, with two heads and one body. Okay. The other opinion is that man was created male, and then God took a part of the male and created the female. Okay? So the first opinion says that Tchilas Briyaso Nivra Shnei Partzufim, that man was created with two faces, Zachar Unikev. And the second opinion says no, that man was created B'Tchilas Briyaso Zohar, and then the Keva was created from Zohar. Mar Sovar Chadi Yitzira Havoi. According to one opinion, in our Machlokas between Levi and Ravasi, man was created originally as one. Chadi Yitzira means it was both male and female. God created both male and female with two faces in the initial creation. Oh. So therefore, we have a problem. Why? Because there are two brachos about creation here in the six brachos. One is Yotzer Ha'adam, and the other is Asher Yatzaris Adam B'Tzalmo V'Hiskin Lo Mimenu, meaning he created female for male, or from male. Now, if God created both male and female originally in the Tchilas Habriya, then it doesn't make sense to make these two brachos. Let me start the other way around. If you assume that there were two creations, not Chadi Yitzira, but rather male was created in Zohar and then female as a separate creation, then we could be justified with two brachas. One bracha, Yotzer Adam, is for male, and the second bracha is for creating female, Hiskim Mimenu Bidyan Adiyad, from the male. That's going to be the sheet of Rav Asi, who recited two brachas. He had Yotzer Adam and Asher Yotzer Adam B'Tzalmo.
But even the opinion that says that you have Shnei Partzufin,
Chadi Yitzira, right?
You still have creation of woman from man.
No, not really. What God did was he didn't do a new Yitzira. What he did was he split. He split one body into two.
That's hard to say because the pasuk doesn't say that.
Well, there are two psukim. There's one pasuk that says Zachar and Akeva bara Osam, which sounds like he created man as both Zachar and Akeva.
Right.
And then there's another pasuk that says that God took a rib from man.
Right.
The question is, how do you interpret Zachar and Akeva bara Osam? Some say that Zochen Nekeva is just a general description, that male and female were also. Others say that no, the Tchilas HaYetziru was Zochen Nekeva, was two parts Sufim.
Right.
So according to that opinion, if there was two parts Sufim, then there was never a separate Yetzira for Chava and for Adam. There was no two Yetziras, it's Chali Yetzira. So why do you make two brachas?
But no matter what, woman is created for a man.
Not as a creation. It's only it's only a surgical separation.
Yeah. What?
Imagine if you graft
the pasuk doesn't say that.
Again, there are two psukim. So the Gemara in Erev goes through all the psukim. Right. I'm just saying the following. But we have to know for our sugya. It's not so much the juggling of the two psukim. We have to know in Mitzias, in reality, what exactly happened. One school of thought, and this would be reflected by Rav Levi, would maintain that God created male and female. There was never a separate creation of female.
Right.
Again, it was a separation period. It's like if I give a marshal, let's say you graft an organ from Reuven onto Shimon, right? Yeah. So Reuven is the donor and Shimon is the recipient. That's not a yetzira. That's just a grafting. But the other mandion, which is Rav Asi, holds that no, there were mamish two separate yitziros. There was one yitzira of Adam as a zachar, and the original yitzira was only Adam, and that justifies the brach of Yotzer Adam. And then God created female as a separate yitzira, and that's Hiskin lo mimenu binyan adiyah. Okay, so let's see it inside.
Let me just to push you one more. The pasuk that says that he took the side or the rib of Adam, doesn't it use the word vayitzer, vayiven in that pasuk?
Vayiven.
I don't have this sugya and erevin in front of me.
I'm just arguing that pasuk says there's still a creation.
So look, Rabbi Goldschott, at this point I need you to bring me a gemara and erevin. My only problem is that I want to cover a certain amount.
I'll let you go with it.
So take a look in erevin yud ches, okay, because that part of the sugya I didn't research. Okay, so again, b'maikah miflagi is lema b'haka miflagi. Mar sover, according to Levi, who wants to drop the brach of Yotzer Adam, chada yitzira hava, man was created both male and female initially, and therefore there's no need to thank Hashem and praise Him for yitziras Adam. The word Adam here means zachar. There's no yitzira zachar according to Levi, because chada yitzira means both male and female were created simultaneously. Umar baravasi savar shte yitziros havoi. At the beginning, what was the Tchilas HaYetzirah was Zachar, and that justifies the brach of Yotzer Adam. And then the female was created as a separate entity, so to speak, a separate act of Yetzirah, and therefore there's a second bracha that corresponds to the second Yetzirah, that's called Shtei Yetziros Hava. So there's Chari Yetzirah or there's Shtei Yetziros. The Gemara says, lo. No, I don't have to go that way. The Kuli Alma Chari Yetzirah Havi. Everybody agrees that God created male and female together. And there were two parts of him, the two faces. Oh, but there was a machshava. What it means there was a machshava? Originally there was a machshava to create them separately, and then God at the end of the day decided to create them together as part of one body. Mar sovar, according to Rav Asi, basar machshava zlina. Since the original thought of God, in the original divine scheme of things, God would create male separately and female separately, that machshava is enough to justify two separate brachos. Umar sovar, but Levi says, don't look at the original machshava of the Ribono Shelom, the divine scheme, but basar maisa zlina. In reality, God created one yitzira of male and female. Although he had originally a plan to create them separately, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, he created them together. Let's look at Tachlis, at the Maisa Yetzirah. And the Maisa Yetzirah was only one single Maisa Yetzirah. There was no separate Yetzirah for female, and therefore I'm not going to make a separate bracha. Rav Asi, on the other hand, says, Basar Machshava Azli. So you should know, and I have a footnote here, number Lamed Tes, if you have a doc, take a look on the bottom, Lamed Tes. The Tshuva Sarashba goes wild over this Gemara. What does this mean? That God had an original thought and then he changed his mind? What do we know? It's sort of like you remember the Chazal, that Midas Hadin and Midas Harachmin, that Mitchila, all of the Machshava, Livrosis, all of the Midas Hadin. And then God said, no, man can't exist with the Midas Hadin, so he changed it to Midas Harachmin. What is that all about? How could it mean that God had a thought and then he changed his mind? He says, "Lo kamo shata savur." He's talking to the Shoel. Shebitchila olam machshavel yosam shnayim, that there should be two separate entities, Zohar and the cave of Yakach lo bora ela echad. Achak chaza v'ra. You know what? He saw that his machshavel was not correct. Chalila lo marze. He says, it's, "How can you say such a thing?" But rather, haTorah ba l'saber es haOzen. What does this mean? Mitchila olam machshavel. Levayer chachmas brias ha'odham. The Torah wants to glorify or intensify the profound nature of the creation of man. Ilu hayakasuv rak. If the Torah had only written shenivra nekeva mina adam, lo haya ha'odham sam libo legodel chachmas habria bazeh. Therefore, the Torah writes kaviyachol that both male and female were created separately. Even though Lamaisa, God did not create male and female separately, but the Torah wrote it as if it was so, that God created male and female separate. That's called a machshava. What does it mean, the machshava? It doesn't mean that God had a havamin and a maskana. God is going to write this in order to indicate the greatness of the Bria. And why is that so? Because he says that briyasam ke'echad he tachlis ha'chokhma, to create them as one, that is the ultimate chokhma. I don't know exactly what he means here. I think what he means is that when we see male and female as separate creations, independent one of the other, again, you and I could probably relate to that, because I often think that females really belong to a different creation. I don't know. They work differently. I don't know. You agree with me on that, Brian? I thought you agree with me. It's like, you know,
I can't work it out. I've been trying.
Can't work it out. Yeah, it's b'chol yom yil beinecha kechadashim. I mean, they're chidushim all the time. You know, and they say something and they don't mean what they say, and they're never satisfied unless you can read their minds. You know, that's, you have to guess exactly what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and what gifts to bring them.
The recording's up.
Okay. It's you know, it's a new entity. It's a, we belong to the human race, but really there are two different races over here. So that's indicated by the fact that male was created separately from female. Lamaisa, that's what it was. But there was a machshava. Now, what was that original machshava trying to teach us about the beauty and the intense and, you know, infinite wisdom of the Almighty? The Rashba doesn't exactly spell it out. He calls it tachlis achav. But what I really think is, let me try to explain something. You know what? Again, I'm not a physician, and I don't know beans about medicine. But I know one thing. What is the greatest danger in organ transplants? What is the?
It doesn't take rejection.
Yeah, what's that called? Rejection. Now, why is there always a fear of rejection? Because you're introducing a foreign body. In other words, the recipient is getting something that's alien to his organism. Correct? That's why they say that the greatest chance for success in organ transplants are twins. And if you can imagine Siamese twins, you know that they really shared one body originally. Because then there's a lesser chance of rejection. And that's why we look to family members, especially in kidney transplants, because of the reduction in the fear of Doc, you have to tell me if I'm right or wrong here, because I'm saying things as an Amoritz in front of a Gaul B'Yisrael here who knows medicine. But isn't it true that if you have two, you know, similar DNA structures, you know, in the case of family members, there's less of a chance of rejection?
Spot on.
Okay. So what I'm suggesting is, when male and female get together, and the Torah says, "V'hayu l'basar echad," how is that possible? How can male and female become Basar Echad? I mean, the fear of rejection here, I think, is very high. And the only way of explaining how marriage works, I think, is because of the Yetzirah Achas, you know, the Chada Yetzirah. In other words, the fact that male and female were really one entity in the creation. And therefore, there's no, or there's a limited chance of rejection. Obviously, there always is a possibility of rejection, hence we have Gerushin, we don't believe in Catholic marriages. I'll give you a Moshe L'mal Dover Doma. And I didn't really expect to talk about this, but when you think about it, why does the Malach bother teaching the embryo Torah during its pregnancy, during its embryonic stage, and then when the baby is born, boom, forgets everything? It's an exercise of futility. Who are you fooling? The baby doesn't know beans about Torah when it starts getting older and older. But the answer is that Torah could be viewed, chas v'sholom, as a kind of organ transplant which has a certain probability of rejection. Why don't we reject the Torah? The reason we don't reject the Torah is it's because it's us. With our inception, when we were created together with the Torah. The Malach was teaching us Torah. Basically, Torah education, Torah study is not learning, it's relearning. You all heard of the famous Greek philosopher Plato. Plato wrote a book called The Republic. And in that major masterpiece, he claims that education is really teaching a child what the child already knows, meaning all knowledge is intuitive. So I can't tell you whether the Platonic idea of education has ever been created, has been accepted over the years, but I can tell you that he's absolutely right with regard to Torah. Torah is a process of re-education. We are not teaching you something that you don't know. How could you learn a Daf Yomi? It's impossible. You're being flooded with 50 different new variables on a Daf? They hit you with Kachim, and with Zroim, and with Tyrus, and you don't know beans. How you? The answer is because they're not foreign elements. There's no fear of rejection. It's really you. Everything that you learn in Torah is familiar to you. There should be a ring of familiarity. Ki hod Rabbi Yehuda Rami Ksiv Vayivra L'kimis Ha'odav Itzalmo. On the one hand, the Torah says that man was created alone as a male. And yet, in another pasuk siv, it says, Zachar Nekeva Brahm, that God created both male and female together. Ha-Ketzad, how do we reconcile these two psukim? Bitchila ola b'machshava livro shnayim ulbasof nivra echa. There had to be a tchila b'machshava. If not for that tchila b'machshava, there wouldn't be one entity of Vidavak Beishto of Zachar Nekeva. They would be totally separate, one for the other. But the answer is there has to be a Nivra and Nivra Ech. Rav Ashi Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana Yoma Kama. On the first day of the Sudas Nesud Baruch Kulhu, he blessed all six brachas. Mikan V'yelech Iika Panim Chadoshes Baruch Kulhu V'ilo Afushe Simcha B'almahu. To repeat the same simcha night after night, day after day of Shivas Yemei Mishteh, that's not a new simcha. That would not justify and obligate Sheva Brachas. The bracha has to come from a new simcha. What brings a new simcha? That is Panim Chadoshes. Panim Chadoshes means that someone comes to join your simcha, and when he comes in, he adds another element of simcha. If there's no Panim Chadoshos, everybody has been there already in the past, then Afushe Simcha B'Alma. Rashi says that the Afushe Simcha means you're just expanding yesterday's Simcha. Now it could be that Rashi holds that you need Panim Chadoshos for every day of Shivas Yemei Mishteh, but it's really every other day. You know, you need Yom Rishon, Yom Shlishi, Yom Chamishi, because if you don't have it yesterday, if you don't have Panim Chadoshos that weren't there yesterday, then yesterday's Simcha is now just repeating itself. And that's called Afushe Simcha. We're going to have a gigantic machlokas as to who constitutes and who qualifies as Panim Chadoshos. I think we've discussed this in the past. I wouldn't mind doing a chazorah on it, but not tonight. It's already 9:15, and I don't know if we have time for that. But nevertheless, the precondition for Sheva Bracha, says the Gemara during Zayin Yemei Mishteh, is Panim Chadoshes. With Panim Chadoshes, you can recite Sheva Brachas. Without Panim Chadoshes, you cannot recite Sheva Brachas. I'm thinking out loud that maybe what we could do is, but I didn't photocopy this for you, is take a look at these pages. I think I've mentioned to you in the past that there's a website called olamot.net. Has everybody heard that from me? If you haven't heard it from me, then you'll hear it now, because I am absolutely enamored with this website. Right, Zvi Reisman, who's more famous for a different website, which is called HebrewBooks.org, he has established this website in the last few years. It's relatively new, called Olamot.net. And on this Olamot.net, and I'll give it to you in writing afterwards if you're interested, it's a great way of learning. And he has about 350 shiurim on this site. And one of them is based on our sugya called Sheva Brachas. That's the name of the shiur. And what I really wanted to do, but I just simply didn't get a chance to do so, is to photocopy these pages for you. But what I'll do is, if you don't mind, Torah Shebal Peh, I'm just going to read one or two paragraphs from this shiur. Okay then? He says the following. You just get the paragraph here. He says the following. The Hemshech HaSugya, okay, let's just get out of Chesom and Aleph. Oh. The Gemara now wants to know what happens if you have less than a minyan. Can you recite Sheva Brachas? And Gemara says on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Be'asara. And you may recall that there were two opinions as to why. Where do we learn this halach, this requirement of Asara? According to one opinion, it's because Boaz, the Pasuk says, gathered 10 people. And Chazal say, why did he gather 10 people? To be Mevarch Sheva Brachas at the marriage of Boaz to Ruth. And the other man, the Omer, says, it's based on the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "B'makelos birchu Hashem," and makelos is miloshim kahal al makar. Makar is iskei makar, which is marriage, and it says kahal. You need 10 people that form a kahal. So, in the case of 9 people, right, you gather together 9 people, and the chas and kala come in. You cannot be mevarach sheva brachos. And that could be a big disappointment because, you know, you put a lot of work, the host and the hostess put a lot of work, especially the hostess, you know, we have to give credit where credit is due, right? The hostess put a lot of work into preparing for Sheva Brachas, and there won't be Sheva Brachas because only 9 people showed up. Okay? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, Chasonim min aminyan. That it's enough to gather together 9 people because the chasin himself is the 10th. And therefore, he's mashlim, the minyan. That's called chasanim atzmon min aminyan. See, he says the following. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, chasanim min aminyan vi. Okay, fine. We don't have to know about avelus. That's a different halacha. Because there's another halacha of birchas avelim. And the question is whether the avel is considered the 10th. If you have 9 people, fine. That's not for us now. So if you take a look in what's called Hagos Vitziyunim, which you may have on the side, I don't know if maybe this is more of a classic Gemara, but in the new Gemara, there's something called Hagos Vitziyunim, and he has a slightly different girsa. There's a Ksav Yad of Rashi, and Rashi's Ksav Yad, it says, Chasanim in Aminyin La'asora Hatzrichim Limonos Lebirchas Chasanim. Okay, so you can have the Chasan Lihimonos, meaning to be counted when you need asara, min haminyan, and Rashi says kidamrinon li el. Okay. And the Gemara is going to say that the Braisa which says chasana min haminyan is ki san ki tanya hahi bebirkas hamazon. Okay, I guess we'll get up to that a little bit later on, what that means, birkas hamazon. And he goes on to say that the halach of chasanim atzom in aminyan only makes sense according to Rabbi Avo. Let's go back to Daf Zayin Amid Beis. If I could borrow this for just a second, Rabbi Avo was the one, let me just double check, who said that minayin lebirchas chasanim biasara is v'makelos baruch elokim mimakar Yisrael. He derives from the pasuk Makelos. Rav Nachman himself derives the halacha of asara from a different pasuk, and that is the pasuk of Boaz. And what does it say by Boaz? It says vayikach Boaz asara noshim mizikne Yisrael. He gathered together 10 people. Now, if Boaz was min haminyan, then how many people should he be gathered together? 9. So why did Boaz gather together 10? That's the kasha that he wants to ask. In other words, Bishleim, according to Rabbi Avo, that Sheva Brachas has to be recited in the presence of a kohol. I understand very well that the chasan is part of the kohol. Why should he be excluded? And if you have 9 plus 1, that's fine. But if you hold like Boaz, that the derivation is from Vayikach Boaz Asara, then it would sound like Boaz gathered together Asara, and the Chasan himself, in this case Boaz, was not part of the minyan. Otherwise he could have gathered together 9 people. That's clear. So how do I reconcile the halacha of Chasanim Atzma min haminyan with the halacha derived, the halacha of Asara, which is derived from Boaz, and it says Vayikach Boaz Asara, and Asara's king? Maybe l'chatchila you should say that we want a minyan even without the chasan.
In other words, it's much better. It's nicer to have 10.
It doesn't mean that 10 besides the chasan is absolutely likuva, but the perfect way of doing the mitzvah would be to recite the bracha in the presence of 10.
10 should shower blessing on the chasan. Do that at least 9 on the chasan.
Excellent, excellent. I hear what you say. He says very well. Remember the next to the last bracha was Sameach Tesamach Re'em Ahuv. And Rashi says that that bracha is a tefillah. If that bracha is a tefillah, what the chasan really wants is to gather together a group of people, a kohol, to be mispalel on his behalf. And if you take a look in the case of Boaz, I don't have a Megillus Rus in front of me, that's exactly what they did. They said to Rus, Atahi, what does it say over there? Jonathan, do you remember the pasuk? Does anybody have a Megillus Rus here by any chance? No, we don't. Anyway, they blessed Rus, which means they were mispalel on her behalf. And if that be the case, what Boaz wanted to gain was the element of tefillah. Is then the chasan is not min haminyan. Again, the chasan could be mispalel and be mavakesh on his own behalf and on behalf of the kallah whenever he wants to, and he's obligated to do so. But the unique nature of this brach of Sheva Brachos is to gather together 10 people in order to recite this bakasha on behalf of the chasan v'kallah. Latz l'chasan, Rashi says. And if that be the case, what we have here in Birchas Chasanim is a gathering of people who are going to pray on behalf of the chasan. You'll ask me if that be the case, then Sameach Tesamach Re'em Ahuvim should be enough. Why do we need the other brachos? And the answer is because whenever you organize a bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper to jump in straightaways into the bakasha, but rather you should sandwich the bakasha with what? Shevach. And then Hodaya in the middle. is bakasha. So for example, if you take the Amida as your classical case of a series of brachos, we start with avos, that's called birchas hashevach. We finish with hodah, and in the middle we have bakasha. And this is based on Moshe Rabbeinu, because when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to enter into Israel, he starts by saying, Atah achilos al arosos avdecha es godlecha es gvurosecha, etc., etc. He starts with Shevach, and only then does he proceed to Bakasha. And that's the structure of Sheva Brachas. So that's why I wanted to suggest that when Rashi says that Sameach to Samach Rei Mahum is a Bakasha, what he means to say is that the hub of Sheva Brachas is Bakasha. The whole purpose and kiyum of Sheva Brachas is that. And the structure of Sheva Brachas is to embellish that Bakasha which is in the middle. If that be the case, then as you said before, Boaz wants to guarantee that he has 10 people who are going to pray on his behalf. Because the power of a tzibur in Hilchas Tefillah is that much greater. It's not geometrically greater than less than a tzibur. It's not arithmetically, I meant to say, it's geometrically greater, right? It's exponentially greater. That's why Boaz took Asara. But nevertheless, Chasson and Atzma min Adminyan, if all you have is 9, then you fall back on V'makelos Pircha Hashem, and the Chasson himself is part of the Kohal. It's interesting that within the context of Panim Chadoshos, the Poskim want to invite someone who will enhance the Simcha, who will really upgrade the Simcha. And it's not enough, I think, to just knock on your neighbor's door, you know, because you don't have a tenth, and say, come in and be mashlim, or to stand outside in the street and grab a guy in, and, you know, you pay him a couple of bucks, so to speak. It's got to be someone that will enhance the simcha, not so in the case of tefillah. If you have 9 people and you need a tenth for a minyan, I don't care whether this tenth person is going to be a familiar face or someone who's mechubad that will enhance the simcha. He's part of the call, and he's mashlin the minyan. I remember I made Sheva, my wife and I hosted Sheva Brachas for my friend Rabbi Weinberg. I mean, then he wasn't yet a rabbi. And we invited Rav Goldwicht, Zichrono Livracha, who was the Rashiva, the founder of Kerev Yav. Not the present Rosh Hashiva of Kerev Yav, I'm talking about the original Rav Goldwicht. And I'll never forget when he came in, the whole simcha changed. It was like, it really made an impact. It was like a ripple effect. All of a sudden, like, the whole ma'amad, I don't know how to say this in English, but it changed. I'll never forget, we gave him soup. You know, that was the first course, or maybe the second course, I don't remember. And then we gave everyone else soup. When he got his soup, he started eating the soup. And nobody had gotten soup. So everybody was a little surprised. So Rav Goldberg turns to us and he says, I see you're surprised I ate the soup, but why did you give me first? You want to be mechabed me? You want my suit to be cold?
Like all these people.
I like the chab.
I like it.
We hosted Shevrochs, my wife and I, for Rabbi Ilson. I don't know if anyone here knows Chaim Ilson. And we invited Rav Gershon Zaks, Olver Shalom. And we didn't think he was going to come, but he actually showed up. Rav Gershon Zaks was a Gadol B'Yisrael. He was a grandson of the Chofetz Chaim. His father, Rav Mendel Zaks, was the bochen in the yeshiva. I remember taking a bechina with him. Rav Mendel Zaks, who was the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, used to smoke half a cigarette. So he would cut it in half. Did you ever see this? The old-time Lithuanians, in order to get to the last drop of a cigarette, I mean, you know, like his fingers were burning, you know. Of course, we didn't understand his questions, but our Rebbe was Rabbi Michael Hecht. I don't know if you know Rabbi Hecht. What he used to do is he used to field the questions. So it was Rabbi Zaks over here. We were over here. We were young kids. So Rabbi Hecht would give us in the fielding of the question, he would sort of imply the answer. That's how we survived it. Anyway, Rav Mendel Zaks, who was the Bochin in the yeshiva, his son Rav Gershon had a yeshiva called Chofetz Chaim. Not the same as the Chofetz Chaim. Well, and it was named after his grandfather. It was in Muncie, New York, and then he opened a branch for younger kids in Manhattan. It was called the Cheder, the Chofetz Chaim Cheder. It's a great school. It's a crackerjack school. Anyway, so Rav Gershon Zaks actually showed up at Rabbi Ilson's Sheva Brachas. And it was really cool because what happened was my wife and I decided that all the meat would be badats. Now, in those days, to buy badatz meat, I don't know what it's like today, it's very, very expensive. But we figured, you know, maybe Rav Gershon will show up. And we knew that he only ate badatz. So sure enough, Rav Gershon showed up. And we were all thrilled because all the meat was badatz. P.S. he didn't eat any of the meat. But it was a great simcha. So that's called Panim Chadoshes. And it's interesting that Boaz, when he gathered together the people, the pasuk says, Vayikach Boaz Asara Mizikne Ya'ir. Now the words Kenim doesn't mean people with white beards. So Kenim means Mishakana Chachma. They were Talmidei Chachamim. So you see that there's a special halacha of inviting a Talmud Chacham for Shemar Brachos. Interesting. And the reason I think is because the covenant of a Talmud Chacham can enhance the Shemar Brachos. Alright, we'll stop here. And believe me, the next week I may be able to photocopy more pages for you if you want to go through next the sugya. Oh, next week is Lagbon. Right, next week is Lagbon. Well, yesterday we counted 32. Well, anyway, be that as it may, we'll pick it up in 2 weeks' time, Mr. Shem, and just... I think Wednesday night is Lag BaOmer, if I'm not mistaken.
Wednesday night is Lag BaOmer.
Okay. So
we'll be in Cameo, so we won't be
in Lag BaOmer. I'll be probably in Cameo, yeah. I have my first grandson's bar mitzvah this Lag BaOmer. So it's like entering into a new... It's in Cameo. That's where my kids
are. Doing it at night? Is it the night?
Well, that night we're going up to prepare, and on the day we're having it. So my wife and I are going to help out. My kids are doing it at home. It's an in-house kind of homeschool.
You'll get smoke from
Aaron. Yeah, probably. It's about a half hour from Aaron.